there. I'm Jill Conrad, and I am here today with Donald Daly. He is the author of a new book. It's called Digital Sales Transformation in a Customer First World, and that is exactly what we are talking about today, because this man really knows what he's talking about.
You're very kind.
Well, ever since I met you, and that was many years ago now, I think we first met at Dreamforce.
I think so.
Right? But we talked online before, but I've always been impressed with how you were such a forward thinker in terms of what was happening in the sales environment. And then you have sales technology. You're the chairman of the board of Altify, which is a sales technology company that helps salespeople win more deals faster, do the right things so they can be more successful.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, we've been on that journey for a while before it was cool.
Before it was cool. And I remember the first time I met you and saw you at Dreamforce when you were trying to explain it to me, my head was not wrapping itself around the concept that you brought up. But what where you were 5 to 6 years ago is where people are, I mean, and you've certainly gone way beyond that.
Yeah, so, no, it's our vision such as it was, right? Our vision was, what do we do to make the lives of salespeople better? Well, that's if we can help them win deals, and we can use software to help them win deals, and use software to help them get more from their existing customers by fundamentally helping their customers. That's kind of, and I'm glad that's kind of come to pass now, because it's the only idea we had, right? So I'm kind of happy with that one.
Well, that's good, because here's what I was most impressed with, is the stuff that you had inserted into your software even back 5 to 6 years ago that actually prompted and helped salespeople advance the process. And did you know, almost like, did you remember to do this? Or if you're smart, here's what you'd do next.
Right, right. Well,
and it was like a built-in coach in terms of guiding people through the process, making sure they didn't miss any steps, right?
That's it, yeah, and it's kind of one of the benefits of being as old as I am, right? So my first company 30 years ago was in AI, right? Before AI was cool, and then it wasn't cool for 25 years, and now it's cool again.
But it's cool again.
It's all about helping improve human performance, and we apply to sales, so that's cool.
Yeah, that's really cool, and I think salespeople in the whole marketplace are really ready for that kind of stuff.
I think so, and I think their customers need them to be ready.
Oh my goodness. I think so too. So we're going to dig into your book right now. Because one of the things that I notice is in that book, you talk about two mega trends. And they are, number one, customer first, and number two, digital transformation.
Right.
You want to talk more about those? Because those are pretty meaty terms, may not be understood by everybody.
Well, I think they are the... Customer first, we'll take customer first first. And I think what's really important here, and you know this as well as anybody, right? It's always been about the customer. And everybody would intellectually say, yes, it's always been about the customer and we have to do that. Yes, but don't, I need to go close my deal and make my quota. You do, but you know what? You don't have a choice anymore, right? Because the customer is so empowered, they have so much information, and they're so well equipped with the knowledge and what they learn from everybody, that if you don't actually truly believe that you can deliver a benefit from the customer, you're not going to succeed. And I think that's a good thing, right? It's always been a good thing, but now it's not something that you get to choose.
Yeah, and I think, let me just expand on it. I think, you know, I agree with you. People always say, of course we do customer first, but if you take a look at their actions, they are not customer first action. They're self-serving actions. They're, you know, we need to get this deal closed by the end of the month actions, do whatever it takes. I mean, that's not customer first.
Right.
Nor is it customer first if you go into meetings without preparation and without actually stopping to think about what is most important to be doing that meeting, not from your perspective.
Right.
But from the customer's perspective.
It's kind of, what does the customer want to achieve? I talk in the book about a thing I call the truth test, right? And it's if I was the customer, would I buy what I'm selling today?
Say that again.
If I was the customer, would I buy what I'm selling today? Right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And if the answer to that is yes, then you should be puffing out your chest and be really full of confidence going, you're actually going to bring value to the customer. If the answer to that is no, there's no winner, right? There is no winner. The customer doesn't win. If you actually win the deal, then you're getting a short-term customer. That's not a good thing.
Right, right. And you know what pains me is to see how so many companies invest so little time teaching their salespeople about the customer.
Yeah, it's product training. It's features and benefits training. It's how our company operates training. As opposed to, it's what's the customer trying to achieve? And people go, I know what the customer's trying to achieve. I know what their goals are. And they're kind of the easy things, right? Because what's, Andy, the last customer you spoke to, Jill, right? Their goal was going to be grow revenue, right? Reduce costs, improve profit. But you don't learn a lot. And when people take the time to understand why the customer wants to achieve those things and understand what's broken in the customer's business, then they begin to feel the customer's pain and kind of go, oh, I understand the impact on the customer of doing nothing. I understand the impact of the customer doing the wrong thing. Right. If I can help them do the right thing, then that's a win for both of us.
Right. Let's talk about that second mega trend on digital transformation.
Right. So, you know, I'm a nerd and a geek, right? So
you're a real nerd and a geek, and you love studying this kind of stuff, which I have to tell you, it makes me really happy that you are, because then I don't have to go into the depth of research that you do on these kinds of things.
Yeah. So what's dreadful, right? So in the world today, you've got 4.4 zettabytes of data, right? Right.
Sounds like a lot.
It's a lot. It's like about, think of a one with 20 zeros after it. It's actually 21 zeros after it, right? And that's today. And in 2020, it'll be 44. And at that time, so that's tenfold increase. And that time, the data in the world will increase twice every 72 days.
Oh my God. It's painful to hear that. You know?
I know, it is. And the challenge there is, because there's so much data, people say, what do I do with all this information? And the reality is that there is not a data deficit, there's an insight deficit, right? And how do we help people understand what data matters, and what insight matters, and what they can learn from that so they can teach their customers on how to improve their business? So every day, there's a new digital initiative going on in every large corporation in the world. 47% of customers in the world, we surveyed about 1,000 different corporations. 47% have digital transformation as their number one disruptive threat, right? Not their number one strategic initiative, their number one disruptive threat.
Disruptive threat.
So it's all changing, and and it's happening to customers, it's happening to salespeople, and we need to figure out how to blend the best of the technology with a customer-first perspective to optimize how a seller can deliver value to the customer.
That sounds like a big chore.
It is, but it's pretty simple if you break it down, right? Because if you think about it, customers like to buy in different ways. Customers like to buy different things. If I'm buying copy or paper, I don't need a seller to help me. Buying an ERP system, then I need a seller to help me. So if I think about, and there's so much data available that can tell me what the propensity is for a customer to be one of the copier buyer, the copier paper buyer, or the ERP buyer,
right,
then that should inform my customer engagement model. And then I can figure out how I do that kind of customer value delivery piece.
Let's go back to the fact that this digital transformation is on everybody's mind. Why should we care about that as salespeople? Help me really get why I should care about it.
So you speak about crazy busy buyers, right?
I do. I speak about crazy busy sellers a lot now too.
Right. And the crazy busy buyers, that's hard to say three times, right, after a few drinks of wine, right? But so the crazy busy buyers are crazy because they have to deal with so much data and insight and all those initiatives. If the seller doesn't understand that, or doesn't understand how their solution product applies in that context, they will lose.
Yes.
And sellers don't like to lose. So sellers should care about how the customer is transforming their business. And digital transformation, let me just say this. So digital transformation is different than what we've seen with technology over the last 30 years. So what technology has done in the last 30 years is make it easier for people to do the things that they did, right?
Okay.
So right. What digital transformation does is it certainly checks that box, but it also makes it possible to do things that they didn't think were possible before. So now they're coming up with new business models. They're coming up with, and I won't talk about the obvious, the consumer examples, the disruptive things of the Uber and the Netflix and all these kind of
right.
people who fundamentally change business models. They're doing things that we didn't think were possible before. Same thing is happening in corporate land, right? So everything we do in corporate land is informed by what we've learned in consumer land. Because while, you know, we know not all consumers are business people, all business people are consumers. Right. So we kind of learn from that. So they're thinking about how to do new things with technology, how to do new things that weren't possible before. And that's the landscape that the seller has to sell into.
Definitely more challenging. But for the good seller, it should make you salivate in terms of thinking that, wow, what is possible with this magnificent transformation going on? And what can I do to stay ahead of the game?
Yeah, because, I mean, as you know, right, for a seller, change is the biggest opportunity.
Oh, yes, absolutely right. Change is the biggest opportunity. Most people don't even think about it. They just go, oh, shoot, you know, this is going on in the organization. And to me, the oh, shoot is really like, oh, yes.
Right.
You know, there is change, and
right.
change loosens the grip of the status quo and gives you a chance to come in there with the ideas, insights, information.
And
that
completely, and you know, the crazy busy buyers are yearning for someone to help them.
I think they are desperate for an intelligent person or group of people to come in and, yes, guide them, show them the way, ask them questions that they haven't thought about, challenge their thinking.
Right, yeah, enlighten me, right?
Yes.
Teach me something that I didn't know before that illuminates my business.
Yeah. Now, you talk a lot about the importance of critical thinking.
I do.
Yes.
I do.
And how does that all fit in your book and what you're talking about and what we all need to know more about?
So first, I think it's probably the biggest challenge to knowledge workers and salespeople are the most obvious example of knowledge workers, because all we do is think for a living, right?
That's
right. We don't produce anything, right? We think, and you've heard me say before, you know, thinking is very cheap, but if you don't think, it's really expensive. Right. So,
yes. And that's really good. So I want you to say that again.
Yeah. So thinking is very cheap. But if you don't think, it's really expensive.
Really expensive.
Really expensive.
I think people have no concept of what is lost due to the failure of thinking or the
right.
lack of thinking.
Right. So I think it's a huge problem, because if Google is the answer to everything, then I don't need to think, right? But if Google is the
yes.
answer to everything, then everything spirals to the lowest common denominator and we all have the same answer. Right. So, and don't start me on the bias in Google algorithms and the bias and all those problems that go on. Right.
I won't let you go into the
right.
bias and
so,
the algorithms, because I know they feed up to you what you're thinking about already.
They do. So
take you elsewhere.
So I think that I think the challenge here is how do we encourage people or entice people to think, right? And we entice people to think. By asking, and this is the seller I'm talking about, by asking the seller provocative questions, not provocative in an aggressive sense, but provocative in a, if you're going to lose this deal now, what would be the number one reason?
Ooh.
And I'm amazed at how many sellers I ask that question. They go, you know what? I never thought of that.
It's a really good question.
Right? And I'm going, because if there's no reason, you'll have the deal done. Right?
Yeah.
So think about it, and they'll go, yeah, it's, I said, so don't say price, because it's not price, right? And
yeah.
and they'll go, well, you know what? It's probably because somebody else in my competitive landscape has a better relationship with someone in the buying thing. And I go, okay, that's really good. So what are you going to do about it? And I play a game with this if I'm doing a presentation, and I say, so think about what I call that the critical question, right? So think about that. The critical question.
Asking the critical question.
So I call it the question, if you're going to lose, why would you lose? I call that the critical question. And I say, think about it in your head, and you don't have to tell me your answer, but the answer you come up with is the wrong one, right? Let's say, play with me, right? And then the next one. And if I'm doing a presentation, I'll say, so assume that when I'm finished speaking, you get a voice message on your phone to say you lost the deal. What would the number one reason be? Right? And then that's all we're doing, getting people to think about that. And I say, wouldn't it be better to think about that before you get the call? Right?
Yes.
Because then they can take action. So I think, and one of the things we're trying to do with our software is look at the data that's there, look at the knowledge that we know, and prompt those critical questions. You know, that says, you've told me that your competitor is strong in feature A, and what are you doing about it? Oh, you know what? That's a good question. I need to do something about it.
And failure to think about that will almost always lead to surprises.
Surprises are bad, right?
Surprises are never good, because people would typically call you up and say, you know, Jill, we've decided that rather than spending, you know, $1 million with you, we want to spend $3 million. I mean, that's not the surprise I normally get.
Right, right.
It's more like, we've decided to wait another 6 months, or we're going to go with XYZ company.
Right.
Bam.
Right. Or we're going to spend $3 million, but we need to think about it because it's not in this year's budget, so it's going to be in 12 months' time.
Oh, that's painful too. We know we're going to put you in line of the things that we're going to do. You're not number one priority, but we're going to get you in that queue.
But we like you, though.
We do. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, the thing you're talking about, you know, you're talking about, you have a system that asks people questions like that, but there's also the sales leaders really need to be driving those questions, too, because to me, a sales leader's job is really to get their people thinking, because sales is a thinking profession.
Yeah, and I think that's even more prevalent, that need is even more prevalent today than it's ever been. The sales manager, sales leader has always been really important, but because of the pace of change and because of all these, you know, the customer first imperative and the digital transformation disruption,
yes,
if the sales manager isn't holding their salespeople accountable to thinking about what they're doing, they will fail.
Yes, they will.
They will fail.
Because they're doomed to repeat the same mistakes. First of all, they're doomed to create mistakes they don't need to create.
Right.
Which lead to losses or extended time. And secondarily, if they don't learn from it, it's just a repetitive cycle.
Yeah, and it's no surprise that today, right, or in last year, 53% of salespeople made quota, which is the lowest number in 7 years. And it's declining.
Really?
Yeah. Right, and what's happening, particularly in the tech space, right? The tech space teaches all of us a lot of bad habits, right? Because the margins are so big, and all these kind of things. And I'll just throw more salespeople at it, right? To make the same number. So what happens? The law of math will say fewer people will make quota, right?
Yeah.
So you know, it's the opportunity, though, because I'm an optimist about this, is the opportunity is these things are really fixable. You know, they're really fixable. And we have seen, and I'll do a little Altify plug for 2 seconds, right?
Yeah.
We have tracked independently the stock performance of Altify customers and compared it with NASDAQ and with S&P, and they run about 23% better.
Wow.
It's not our data, it's not opinion, it's not subjective, it's what the markets say. Because there are some companies doing great things, people we're kind of proud to have as customers, right? Doing really great things and thinking well.
And thinking well, because it really does boil down to how are we thinking? What are we thinking about? What questions are we asking? At all the different phases of the customer's decision process, we have to be asking different questions to keep things moving.
You see, it's interesting. You just talk about all the different phases of the customer's decision process, because that's what you know, right? But people don't think about that, right? So they don't think about when they entered the decision cycle, right? Right. They don't think about that. And unfortunately, one of the damning stats that is out there in the world right now, which I think is A, erroneous, and B, bad, right? And it's wrong, is that buyers are X percent through their sales cycle before they call a seller.
Right.
Because then the sellers go, oh, there's nothing I can do now, because that's all that's going to happen, right?
That's so bogus to me.
And it's so bogus in fairness to the folks who did the research, is they say, on average, in a small data set of folks, there's no company on the planet who's going to change out their ERP system without getting help.
Right.
They're just not, right?
But and what it also omits in their data set are those smart sellers who have targeted very specific customers that they want to work with, who follow them and look for trigger events that, you know, would be happening in their company, in the marketplace, legislatively, and actively pursue people with ideas and start the process with people who weren't even thinking about it yesterday.
Yeah, because you need to be selling when they're not buying, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, I want to talk about AI, because that is like your big thing. And you've been in it, like you said, for 25 years. You were cool before it was cool, you know, to be in this thing. And there is a lot of talk about the need for fewer salespeople in the future, because artificial intelligence will be replacing them. Thoughts on that? Where's it going?
So artificial intelligence is very powerful when you're working with gigantic sets of homogeneous data. So if I'm Amazon, and I've got millions and millions and millions of people buying Snap Selling, Amazon can say, when you buy Snap Selling, you should also go back and look at that seminal publication, Selling to Big Companies, from Jill Conrad, So it has that. However, if you think about an enterprise B2B salesperson who, let's say they've got $1 million quota, let's say their average deal size is 100K, so they have to win 10 deals. Let's say their win rate is average, which is 23% average across the world for those people, right? Then that means they need to work 50 deals, right? But it's 50.
That's what the math would say.
That's what the math would say. It's 50. It's not 5 million. Right?
Yeah.
So there, you can't derive patterns from a data set that small, even if I've got 1,000 sellers, right? Given that the number one variable is the seller.
Right? Okay, interesting. Right? Number one variable is the seller.
Now, you can go, if Jill's on the deal, I really don't care about a lot of the other things, because Jill's going to figure out how to get that deal done, right?
Yeah.
So, but what you need to do, though, is not just go, okay, AI doesn't work, because it does, because there are a lot of the things, when you think about that same seller who's working those 50 deals, right? And let's say they've got 20 people they got to get to in each of the organizations, because the buying committees are getting bigger, right?
Right.
Now, there might be five people that matter, but there's probably 20 people they have to get to. So I do 20 by 50, right? And I get to 1,000, right? So all of a sudden, I've got 1,000 people I have to track.
I got it.
So that's just mathematically, it gets hard, and I can do it, and people do it with spreadsheets and so on. But the software can learn a lot about those people and can help you remove all the graft. There is no job, in my opinion, there's no job that exists in the world today that AI can't help with some task. It can replace some of the tasks, but it can't replace the job, right? Does that make sense?
Yes, but I'm still stuck thinking about those 50 deals I have to close with a bunch of people in each of the deals. I can't keep track mentally of all that stuff. Right. I can't remember each of these people when I've met them, what they've done. I can't remember who I'm supposed to follow up with next. I mean, just that number just threw me into overwhelm when you said that. And
But it's true, right? If you think about so remembering the stuff is one piece of it. The more important piece, though, is prioritizing.
Prioritizing. Right? Oh my God! Yes. Right?
So who are the critical people? Who are what I call in the book? I call it the people that matter. right? Uh-huh. So who are the people that matter? And of course, everyone matters, right, in humanity terms. But in my deal, who are the people?
Okay. I'm glad you're clarifying that.
All right. So in my deal, who are the people that matter, right? Mm-hmm. And how do I know the people that matter, right? And I guide people to those 10 or 15 questions I have and how I know whether X is someone who, right. who has influence, who may or may not have preference for me, who is an innovator in how they think about things, who, you know, and then I can say, oh, I now know of those number of people I got to track, right? Right? My 1,000 people I have to track, who's most important to track, and how I should communicate with them based on their attributes, right? And the system can figure all that stuff out for me and say, oh, you know, Jill is a visionary. She's important. She has the ear of the CEO, right? And in terms of what she said her business problem is, here's how we can map the specific capability of our product to solve the specific business problem that she has, because that's just a math exercise. That's just a matrix of needs and wants and desires. And now mm-hmm. you, Mr. Seller, go use your special sauce and your magic and your pixie dust to engage personally and so on. So I prefer to think of AI as augmented intelligence, not artificial intelligence. So,
and the way technology is moving today, and there is technology that is doing what you just said, showing me the priorities, mapping them out, saying there's alignment here, telling me that this person is important to contact right now. And
right. Yeah, absolutely. What to do. Yeah, absolutely. And here's who you should talk to, and here's what you should say, and here's what's going to appeal to them. And this person is the IT buyer, so they're going to care about security and performance and reliability. And this person is the HR buyer, and they're going to care about how the user is going to feel about it, and, you know.
Okay, so like, isn't that, from your perspective, I mean, I'm hearing this phrase a lot, dumbing down the sales force?
I think it's taking the drudgery away from the seller, and it's prompting the seller to go, oh, you know what? I never thought of that. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
And that's a good thing, right? It's a bit like when you use Waze or Google Maps, and it shows you a way that you never thought about before. You went, oh, I never thought about that. Right? And that just makes your life easier, right? And it lets you do the bit that's really valuable, which is the thinking piece. Now I know that. Now I've got the things that it's asking me about. Now I can think about how I can strategize. The machine can't strategize for me. I can think about how I can strategize, how I can be creative, how I can be imaginative, how I can apply my judgment. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, I mean, the machines are great at a bunch of things, right? Because they don't, you know, your computer doesn't get hungover, right? Right? It doesn't get depressed. It does not turn up for work. It does not finish a task, right? Mm-hmm. But when there's any creativity or imagination or judgment or personal interaction or those kind of things, that's what, you know, the great sellers are really good at.
Yeah.
And it frees them up to do that.
Yeah, and it's not, I mean, there's so much pressure, and there always has been in the sales environment for more. We need more calls, more this, more everything. And I honestly think we need more thinking more than we need anything else.
Yeah, I think we need fewer accounts with
fewer accounts.
Fewer accounts. And we need to think about the account, and we need to understand what they're actually trying to achieve, and then we decide to help them. And we decide to help them, which actually, just by the way, means we end up getting the deal, right? And you can't do that if you're trying to do that at, you know, by measuring activity and calls. And of course, we all have to do the work, right? We have to do the work, but, you know, we have to do quality work.
Yeah. Thanks so much for all your insights today. But I have one last question. That book of yours is, you know, it's pretty detailed. It's insightful. But do you expect people to read it from start to finish, or what are your thoughts on how to tackle that book? Because it's really for sales leaders and human beings who want to be ahead of this game and just want to be leading the charge as opposed to be followers. So what are your thoughts on how people can use your book to get there?
So I think that I'd like to think that people will dip in and out of it, right? It is a large book, right? It is a large book. But if they start with the first section of the book that talks about the customer perspective and how they engage with the customer and who their ideal customer is. Then they get huge progress. And then they think about what their challenges are about, you know, they need to create, build, elevate, expand relationships. So that's today's problem. Let's go and look at the few chapters on that. And then they think about, okay, how do I enable all that technology? And there's the last four chapters, I think, that speak specifically around, you know, I want to accelerate velocity for my less complex deals. There's a chapter around how I want to maximize the account, you know, how I want to apply technology to grow the account. Then they should do that piece. So I'd like people to, I'd like people to read it. I'd be privileged if people read it, right? That's really great. But they can dip in and out of it and hopefully it'll be their constant companion as they're on their digital sales transformation journey.
Yeah, well, and the truth of the matter is you're always ahead of the game, so people can dip in and get started on the journey. They can just keep moving along as they progress because you can't do it all at once. You have to tackle it in stages.
You do, and if it prompts them to think a little, that would be awesome.
Yeah. I think they will be thinking a whole lot after reading your book. So thanks so much, Donald, for being here today and sharing your brilliant insights with everybody who reads my stuff.
You're very kind, and it's always a joy.
Truly my pleasure. We'll talk to you later.